Astrology is not a ranking system. Period. Amen. Every placement has its own gifts and challenges and lessons. A fiery Venus may teach us courage, and an earthy Venus may teach us devotion. An airy Venus may teach us curiosity, and a watery Venus may teach us compassion. Each expression of love is simply different, and your Venus sign is only one part of the story. The house your Venus falls in shows where these themes tend to unfold in your life. Your birth chart isn't just trying to put you in a box, okay? It's offering you a mirror, a way of understanding your natural tendencies so you can love more consciously, not only the people around you, but yourself. Hello, hello, magical friends, yomis. My name is Raquel, and welcome to Your Own Magic, a podcast for the creative and the curious soul. First of all, thank you all so, so much for your love and your words of encouragement and your support on, well, the engagement news, the engagement video on Instagram. Your kind words have just been incredibly heartwarming, and it's been a fun celebration, and I'm just so grateful to have this community and to just know many of you. It's been fun. It's been fun to celebrate. Also, I mean, today, when this episode released, this happens to be a very special day. By the time this episode comes out, it will be Frankie's 4th birthday on July 13th. So happy birthday to my sweet boy. So Frankie is my dog, and I got him before I met Jordan, one of my close friends, Bree Melanson, who many of you know because she's been on this podcast quite a few times. She once told me something that has always stayed with me, and she said that, "I think Frankie really opened your heart." And I honestly think she's right. As in, opened my heart to manifesting this love that I have now in my life with Jordan. And I truly believe that because, well, I wasn't ready to receive love yet, or that kind of love yet. And something about Frankie really shifted me and taught me a love that was completely unconditional, reminded me of it. And he softened me, and he reminded me of patience and presence and responsibility and just the quiet joy of caring for another being every single day. And it does make sense that he opened my heart and opened me to love. And I honestly believe that opening my heart to him helped prepare me to receive the love that I now share with Jordan. And both him and Jordan are a Cancer. Jordan's birthday is in 5 days from when this episode releases. His birthday's on the 18th. And so he helped me meet my Cancer partner. And yeah, maybe that's one of the many gifts that animals can gift us, is that they remind us how to love without keeping score, and how to be fully present, how to trust, how to forgive, how to delight in the smallest moments, and in so many ways. I mean, they open our hearts. And they also teach us the very qualities that Venus asks us to cultivate, which we'll be talking about today. But with that said, happy 4th birthday to my little Frankie, and 38th birthday to my fiance. That word is so weird to me. It sounds a little prestigious, in my opinion. I don't know. But for fun, it's fun to say fiance. It's weird, but it's fun. Fiance, my fiance Jordan. Exciting. Anyway, thank you, Frankie. Oh, he's looking at me right now. Thank you for opening up my heart in ways I never could have imagined. I love you. Sadly, I will not be with him on his birthday because I'll be traveling. So with that said, I do have to miss one more Monday next week, traveling, but also Jordan's birthday. So I will be missing next Monday, but then I'll be back the following Monday on the 27th. Anyway, with all the conversations around love lately, I thought this would be the perfect time to further explore one of my favorite, if not my favorite, planet in astrology, Venus. Most of us know our sun sign, obviously. And I know that many of you know all your signs if you have dipped your toes into astrology. And so you likely know your Venus too. And Venus is so much more than just one placement in your chart. I mean, Venus is a living cycle in the sky. She moves through every zodiac sign, changes the collective energy, forms beautiful and sometimes challenging relationships with other planets, and has inspired astrologers, artists, and poets and romantics for thousands of years. So whether you're single or you're dating, or maybe you're healing from a heartbreak, or you're deeply in love, newly engaged, newly married, or married for a long time, whatever your love life is, right now, Venus offers us a beautiful lens through which to understand not only romance, but our relationship with beauty and pleasure and creativity and connection and even ourselves. So today I want to slow down and spend some time getting to know Venus, not just your Venus sign, but Venus herself. We'll explore the mythology behind this radiant planet and what she represents in astrology, how her energy shows up in our birth charts, and why astrologers pay attention to her transits and how we can work with her cycles to cultivate more love and beauty and harmony in our lives. So get cozy, maybe pour yourself a cup of coffee or tea, and let's journey into the astrology of love. What is Venus? Well, long before astrology became birth chart apps and compatibility memes, Venus was revered as a goddess. In Roman mythology, Venus is the goddess of love and beauty, pleasure, desire, fertility, and abundance. And she represents the magnetic force that draws us toward what we cherish, whether that's another person or a creative passion or a meaningful friendship or a life that feels deeply aligned. The Greeks knew her as Aphrodite, born from sea foam, emerging from the ocean as a symbol of beauty, arising from chaos. I love that imagery because it reminds us that love isn't always something we chase. Sometimes it's something we allow ourselves to emerge into. Astrologically, Venus carries the same symbolism. If the sun represents our life force and identity, our essential self, Venus represents what we value, what delights us, what makes us feel connected, and how we experience love. She's the part of us that falls in love with sunsets and buys us fresh flowers simply because they make a room feel softer, and that lingers over beautiful music and reaches for someone's hand. One that creates art, right? That wants to decorate a home, wear something that feels expressive, cook a nourishing meal, laugh with friends, kiss someone you admire. Venus reminds us that life isn't only about achievement or productivity. She's about enjoyment and receiving and presence and pleasure and harmony. And that's why I think Venus is one of the most misunderstood planets in astrology. I mean, people often reduce Venus to dating advice or compatibility, but her symbolism is so much richer than that. I mean, she describes our values, our relationship with beauty, the way that we give and receive affection, and what helps us feel emotionally nourished, even our relationship with money and abundance, because Venus asks us, what do you truly value? And in many ways, Venus isn't just about who we love. She's about how we love or how we receive love, how we create beauty, and perhaps most importantly, how we cultivate a life that feels worthy of being loved in the first place. Because when we understand Venus, we're not simply learning about relationships. We're learning about the art of living with an open heart. This episode is sponsored by House of Rain by Harley LaRue. I have a book recommendation. If you're like me and love stories that blur the line between romance and horror, House of Rain by Harley LaRue is a dark romance that follows Salem, who ends up stranded on a remote island instead of going on her honeymoon. There she meets the mystery Rain, whose family manor is filled with unsettling secrets. Then people start dying, something begins stalking the forest at night, and what starts as an unexpected attraction turns into a fight for survival. What immediately drew me in was the atmosphere, the isolated island, the gothic manor, the supernatural suspense, and the FF romance all come together to create a story that feels haunting in the best way. Harley LaRue, they have become well known for blending dark romance with horror in a way that has built a huge following. And if you're a fan with authors like Sarah J. Maas, Scarlett St. Clair, Laura Thalassa, this feels like a great book to add to your reading list. It's also available in a gorgeous deluxe limited edition paperback with stenciled edges and holographic foil details and full color character art inside. So don't miss House of Rain by Harley LaRue, available now in special edition trade paperback wherever books are sold. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about mental health much more openly today than we used to, but asking for help can still feel difficult. BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from doing so. I think that this gap says a lot, because most of us believe support is really a good thing, but asking for it ourselves, that is honestly what can be so hard. Well, with over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, helping connect people with licensed therapists who work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the US. Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com. That's betterhelp.com. And now that we understand Venus as the archetype of love and beauty and connection, let's bring her a little closer to home. When you're born, the planets are each traveling through a particular zodiac sign. You probably know this, creating that unique cosmic blueprint that reflects the energies present at the moment you took your first breath. That's your natal chart. And your Venus placement is one piece of that blueprint and one of the most illuminating when it comes to understanding relationships. So many people assume that astrology can tell us exactly who we'll fall in love with or when we'll meet the one. And while astrology, yeah, can certainly offer fascinating insights into compatibility and timing, I think one of its greatest gifts is actually self-awareness. I mean, your Venus sign doesn't define your destiny, right? It describes the way your heart naturally expresses itself. It reveals how you tend to give love and how you prefer to receive it and what makes you feel cherished and what qualities you're drawn toward and what you truly value in relationships. For example, someone with Venus in Taurus may feel most loved through consistency and physical affection and stability and creating a beautiful, comfortable life together. They often appreciate slow love, relationships that are dependable and sensual and rooted in trust. Someone with Venus in Gemini, on the other hand, may feel most connected through conversation, curiosity, humor, intellectual stimulation. They want a partner who can keep up with their mind just as much as their heart. Venus in Leo often expresses a love generously and wholeheartedly. They enjoy celebrating the people that they care about and want relationships that feel joyful and passionate and full of appreciation. Meanwhile, Venus in Pisces, the sign where Venus is traditionally considered exalted, often embodies a deeply compassionate, romantic, and imaginative expression of love. And there's a longing for emotional and spiritual connection, and for seeing the beauty in others, and for experiencing love as something transcendent. And this is where I want to pause for a moment, because I think it's important to remember something, that no Venus sign is better than another, okay? Astrology is not a ranking system. Period. Amen. Every placement has its own gifts and challenges and lessons. A fiery Venus may teach us courage, and an earthy Venus may teach us devotion. An airy Venus may teach us curiosity, and a watery Venus may teach us compassion. Each expression of love is simply different, and your Venus sign is only one part of the story. The house your Venus falls in shows where these themes tend to unfold in your life. The aspects Venus makes to other planets can add harmony and tension or complexity. Your moon reveals your emotional needs. Mars reflects desire and passion. Your seventh house speaks to partnership. Even Saturn, often thought of the planet of discipline, right, has so much to teach us about commitment and longevity and the kinds of relationships that help us mature. So in other words, your birth chart isn't just trying to put you in a box, okay? It's offering you a mirror, a way of understanding your natural tendencies so you can love more consciously, not only the people around you, but yourself. because the more deeply we understand how we love, the easier it becomes to communicate our needs and recognize healthy relationships and appreciate differences and create connections rooted in authenticity rather than expectation. And I think that's one of astrology's greatest gifts. It's not predicting love, but helping us become more present with it. Another side to the story, which is one of my favorite parts of astrology, is Venus isn't frozen in time. She keeps moving. Just as the moon changes signs every couple of days and the sun moves through zodiac over the course of a year, Venus is constantly traveling through the sky, creating what astrologers call transits, right? A transit simply describes where a planet is right now and how that collective energy may interact with our own birth chart. And I like to think of it as the weather. If your natal chart is your home's blueprint, transits are the changing seasons outside. So you still have that same home, but it may feel different in the warmth of summer than it does during the quiet of winter. Venus works in much of the same way. Every few weeks, she enters a new zodiac sign, inviting all of us to experience love and beauty, relationships, creativity, and even our values through a slightly different lens. So each sign offers its own unique invitation. But one of the most beloved placements in astrology is Venus in Pisces. So Pisces is traditionally considered the sign where Venus is exalted, meaning many astrologers view Venus qualities as especially expressive there. Love often takes on a more compassionate, imaginative, forgiving, artistic, and spiritually connected tone. So during Venus in Pisces, people may feel more inspired by music and art and poetry and intuition and acts of kindness. And relationships as well can feel softer. Creativity may flow more easily. We may become more aware of beauty in the everyday. And of course, every transit has both gifts and challenges. So the same dreamy quality that opens our hearts can also make it easier to idolize people or overlook red flags. And that's one of the beautiful reminders of astrology. Every energy invites awareness rather than perfection. And as many of you know, Jordan and I have been planning our wedding and we've actually decided to do a separate legal US wedding and then a spiritual celebration overseas destination wedding. And I just love this because it allows us to work with two different, totally different energies, beautiful Venus energies in secret, right? So trust me, I have so much more I could say about the electional astrology behind our ceremony, but some of you are scary good at astrology, and I just know you'd figure out the exact dates in about 5 minutes. So not that it matters if people know, but there's something to me about keeping certain things sacred I've learned over the years. I'm going to keep a little mystery alive for now, but I can tell you this. Ironically, our legal ceremony doesn't happen under one of astrology's most traditional romantic Venus placements at all. For our private legal ceremony, Venus is actually in Scorpio. Yeah, Venus in Scorpio for a wedding day? What? Well, yeah, traditionally, it's considered a really challenging placement. Some astrologers, they might call it a detriment because Scorpio is so intense. Scorpio often gets a bad rep. I mean, people may think of jealousy and shadow work or power struggles. But I look at it differently because also I'm just very confident in my relationship. And Scorpio is just also the sign of deep, fierce, all or nothing commitment. It's that ride or die energy of marriage and that legal anchoring of two souls. Okay, Scorpio says, I see all of you, not the polished version or what the world sees. No. I see the whole human. I know the light and the dark, and I am choosing you anyway. I mean, what better energy for a legal contract, right? To me, there's something beautifully symbolic about beginning a legal marriage under that kind of unwavering devotion. Plus, during our legal ceremony, Venus is acting as a brilliant morning star, rising in the dark sky right before the dawn. And to me, it symbolizes a profound new beginning and absolute clarity. Then for our upcoming wedding celebration with the family and friends, the timing shifts and Venus moves into Pisces and transforms into a gorgeous evening star, lighting up the sky right after the sunset. And we get that soft, dreamy, spiritual expression of unconditional love. And do I believe that a single transit guarantees a happy marriage? No, obviously not. Healthy relationships, I mean, they're obviously built through communication, trust, commitment, kindness, and the choices that we make every single day, right? Of course. But I do love the symbolism. having that fierce loyalty of Scorpio to anchor the legal bond, the birthing of a new marriage. And then the magic of Pisces to celebrate the new marriage, the spiritual one. It's a way of aligning both steps of our journey with intention that reflect the partnership we hope to continue creating together. And I think that's one of the most beautiful ways to work with astrology. Not as a system of certainty, but as a language of intention and a way of asking ourselves, what qualities do I want to cultivate during this season? Because whether Venus is moving through fiery Aries or grounded Taurus or intense Scorpio, dreamy Pisces, or any other sign, she's constantly reminding us that love isn't only something that happens to us, and it's something that we actively create. One beautiful choice at a time. So of course, when people start getting into astrology, they love to look at, what's the most compatible sign for me? Can astrology tell me if this person is my soulmate? That's so fun. I love to do that too. And while synastry or comparing the two birth charts can offer just some fascinating insights into relationship dynamics, I think astrology isn't here to tell us who to love. It's here to help us understand how we love. Every relationship is an opportunity to learn something about ourselves. Some relationships teach us trust. Some others teach us boundaries. Others awaken parts of us that we just didn't know existed. And some are also gently reminding us that we deserve more than we're accepting or that we've been accepting. And others, they challenge us, right, to become more patient, more compassionate, more honest, more emotionally available. And our charts can illuminate these themes, but they don't remove our free will. Astrology just doesn't replace the work of a relationship. It doesn't, but it does support it, and it offers a language for understanding ourselves and one another. So maybe your partner just naturally needs more reassurance because of their Venus or Moon placement, right? Or maybe you value independence while someone else values constant closeness. I mean, neither is wrong. The invitation isn't to change who you are. It's to understand one another with more compassion. Because when we understand how someone experiences love, we're often able to love them more intentionally. And perhaps just as importantly, we become better at receiving love too, right? One of my favorite things astrology has taught me is that love doesn't always look the same from person to person. Some people say, I love you through words, right? Some through acts of service, through loyalty, through shared adventures, through quiet consistency, or you can look at their love language and you'll know. So the more we understand these different expressions, the less likely we are to mistake different for wrong. And astrology also reminds us that love has many languages and every chart tells a different story. Look at your Venus chart. I love to go to astro-charts.com and put in my information. Look at your Venus, and I'm going to just describe two words to every zodiac sign. So Venus in Aries, bold, passionate. Venus in Taurus, loyal, sensual. Venus in Gemini, curious, playful. Venus in Cancer, nurturing, warm. Venus in Leo, romantic, generous. Venus in Virgo, thoughtful, supportive. Venus in Libra, harmonious, charming. Venus in Scorpio, devoted, transformative. Venus in Sagittarius, adventurous, free-spirited. Venus in Capricorn, committed, steadfast. Venus in Aquarius, independent, unconventional. Venus in Pisces, compassionate, dreamy, so beautiful. Anyway, as we wrap today's episode, I hope this conversation has inspired you to look at Venus a little differently. Not just at the planet that rules romance, but as the planet that reminds us how to cultivate beauty, connection, joy, creativity, and presence in everyday parts of our lives. So whether you're in a relationship, or you're healing from one, or you're searching for one, or intentionally choosing yourself for a season, Venus has something to teach all of us. I mean, she gently asks, what do you truly value? What brings you alive? How do you receive love? How do you offer it? Where can you soften? Where can you create more beauty, not just around you, but within you? Because perhaps the greatest lesson Venus offers isn't about finding the perfect relationship. It's about becoming someone who knows how to live with an open heart. someone who recognizes beauty in the ordinary, someone who allows themselves to receive as deeply as they give, someone who understands that love isn't just an emotion, it's a practice, it's a choice, it's an energy that we cultivate every single day. So wherever Venus is moving through your chart right now, and whatever season of life you find yourself in, I hope you allow her to remind you that love is always available in more ways than we often realize. Anyway, thank you so much for spending this time with me today. If you enjoyed this episode, please share this with someone who loves astrology just as much as you do. And until next time, which is not next Monday, but the Monday after, July 27th. So until next time, follow your curiosity, lead with love. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your magic.